Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's Jeff Sherman.
Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. This from Wired magazine last week. If you don't read Wired, you should. It's a monthly print and online publication that focuses on how emerging technologies affect culture, businesses, the economy, and politics. But let me read from Wired. Meta's plans to use personal content posted by Facebook and Instagram users to train algorithms suggest that our digital histories are being repackaged to teach AI about and how to mimic humanity. Our digital traces and memories are being turned into training data. If you think that there's still time to prepare your time capsule, you are wrong. Your history is already being digested by the entities that will rule our future. Okay, so that's one take on AI. And I saw this on LinkedIn from Brandon Opitz, who is the CMO of a digital immersive experience-based business right here in Milwaukee. Jeff, I've done some work with Brandon. He's doing some really cool integrations for events around the area. Brandon wrote this: AI is altering the need for years of training on specialized software and putting the emphasis on creative thinking, prompting, and using the mind's eye to imagine and dream up the next scene. If you're a creative worker of any sort, let me tell you, Brandon said, you and your company will not be replaced by AI. This said, you will be replaced by creatives that use AI effectively, efficiently, and often. Now, I could find a lot more positioning and stories about AI. And personally, I feel like many things that both the skeptics and the boosters are maybe a little too sure of themselves. So I needed to find focus around AI, sound advice, quality insights, and a little deeper knowledge. So today on The Upswing, we're turning to Todd McLeese, the co-founder of HumanSkills.ai. Todd's AI approach is human. It's Wisconsin-based, and I've worked with Todd on a few projects through the years, so I truly trust his insights. He's on a mission to help people flourish in this AI economy. And his frameworks have been instrumental in helping organizations across a ton of different industries and academic institutions build AI agility. He's on several industry boards and the advisory board chair for the Council for Adult and Experiential Learning. Todd McLeese, welcome to The Upswing. Happy to have you. Thanks for taking time out of your day.
Great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So I want to just kind of set the tone for the rest of the show. If you had to explain AI to a time traveler from the 1950s, how do you describe it?
The late 1950s?
Yeah, the late 1950s. Sure, yeah, let's do that.
I'd probably say, do you remember that conference at Dartmouth in 1956 where they came up with the term artificial intelligence? And then I would probably say it was an awful term, but it's one that has maintained for the last seven decades or so. And then I would probably talk about the difference between when we went from radio in the 40s to TV in the 50s and how transformational that was in terms of how we consume content and entertainment and so forth. And then I would say this is much bigger. This is about democratizing the ability to create things. And it's limited only by imagination, but it's going to change everything about the way we work and learn. And then there are these significant downsides that we have, risks that we have to manage and we have to be proactive about. Because in just a couple of short years, it's gone from being a child to an intern, to an assistant, to this really talented colleague if you can figure out how to work well with it.
All right. So when we come back, I want to tackle all of that and more. The risks, the rewards, and the opportunities with AI. We're talking with Todd McLeese. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo.
Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. While a majority of U.S. adults have heard of OpenAI's ChatGPT, only 14% have tried it. And that's according to the Pew Research Center. So our guest today, Todd McLeese, Wisconsin-based AI expert. At some point in the show, hopefully we'll have some time to go through a bunch of the different platforms, Todd, because I want to get your take on how you use and how people can best integrate some of these platforms into their daily life. But what's, in terms of your thought leadership in the generative AI world, what impact do you see coming to the people and workforce? And just first explain to us what AI agility is and why it's so crucial to businesses and individuals.
Sure. Thanks for that. So we created a skill called AI agility. We tend to focus on AI literacy, typically, and anything new that comes to market that impacts workforce, we call it literacy, digital literacy, professional literacy, et cetera. That's not big enough for what we're experiencing here. So what AI agility is how do I, as an individual, build healthy habits and sustainable practices to partner with AI? Because this is the most human-like technology we've ever created. We need to figure out how to work differently with this particular tool. So it's around certainly literacy and just how to use it, what effective prompting looks like around AI. And then maybe the last, there's six of them, but those are the top two. And the third one is probably, how do I use AI to deliver value that aligns with what the company that I'm working for or in my own business will help me move the ball forward?
Mm-hmm. So if I saw this, that some of the major record labels are suing the two major generative music companies, you know, admittedly not a big surprise. I think we're going to see some of this kind of how do you play offense and defense against AI.
Totally.
That's not going to go away. But how do you mitigate some of the legal issues around AI? And what are you counseling your partners?
Yeah, so for the most part, I'm not sure where Suno and who's the other one, Udio? I'm not sure if they're indemnifying, but like OpenAI and Microsoft, when you sign an enterprise license with those companies, they're indemnifying their clients against any of the copyright lawsuits and the things that are going to happen at that level with the developers of these large language models and these significantly popular apps or use cases for AI. In terms of, it's a much larger topic than just legal liability. There's governance, there's compliance, there's all sorts of things. So depending on the industry and the amount of regulation that's in that industry, we like to help companies and institutions of higher education strike a balance between being AI responsible and AI forward. And so we've built a playbook around that and walk them through these 16 steps and so forth. But we don't want to be so guarded in most cases. Some places it's certainly applicable. We don't want to be so guarded that we don't make progress or that we lose ground competitively. So, but we don't want to be so forward that we end up getting burned because of some significant
issue. And it's the same thing for platforms. Like I use Perplexity.ai or Outlines to kind of provide kind of further cadence on things that I'm looking at, but it scrapes content from publishers and news publishers across the ecosystem. And, you know, what are some of the concerns there on the publisher side and the news side? Hey, are you, quote, stealing the content?
Yeah, I mean, you know, great big lawsuits with New York Times and everybody that OpenAI doesn't do a deal with or Perplexity, a licensing deal, they end up in a lawsuit inevitably. you know, the way the model works is they do go get that information. It's really hard to get it, the model to use it verbatim, but that's not really the point. They're not being compensated for all of the content they've created. So there are certainly some major issues to be worked out in the courts around copyright and trademarks and all sorts of issues on the creative side as well.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the specific risks around AI. Todd McLeese joins us. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Todd McLeese today, educating us on the concerns, the opportunities around AI, specifically from a human lens, as Todd does in his business and his presentations. So, Todd, we want to get into kind of some of the potential risks of AI on our well-being. How can we mitigate these risks and use AI to enhance our well-being instead? That's a big, broad question, but yeah. I think it's one of those things that people are truly concerned about.
I think we need to understand the paradox of AI in every instance, right? So, I mean, to be clear, I don't just talk about this stuff. I use generative AI tools like 30 hours a week. And I have noticed at times, probably not often enough, that, you know, I'm not doing enough of the critical thinking. I'm outsourcing or offloading too much to the AI. I was working on one thing and suddenly I'm in this other loop that looked really cool and creative and value add, but it's not. I remember waking up at like 2 o'clock in the morning doing some work in a hotel room, and like 45 minutes later I had written 1.5 really bad children's books. Right. And that was about a year ago. And so there are all these, traps or pitfalls that are related to it. And again, this really just comes down to building these healthy habits, making sure people are aware of them. It can be a significant engine for us to increase productivity, increase our creativity. But if you look at some studies, you know, some people achieve creative empowerment, which is a flourishing state. Other people feel like it sucks the creativity out of them.
Yeah.
Right? So it really comes down to how we use it. Do we use it in a healthy and intentional way, or are we just doing the equivalent of doom scrolling that we do with social media? So we have to be really intentional and build these skills.
So what's kind of that AI equivalent of with great power comes great responsibility, and how do we ensure that businesses and developers follow it? I mean, what are the guardrails around it that we need to follow?
So going back to those, you know, 4, 5, 6 companies that are the big producers, right? These are the same companies that brought us internet search, e-commerce, you know, Anthropic, Claude is sounds like a startup, but it's a $4 billion investment from Amazon, right? OpenAI is essentially a Microsoft business and so forth. And then, of course, you mentioned Meta at the top of the show at Facebook. And so many of those companies, we already know what they are and who they are and what they prioritize. And in terms of social media, they didn't prioritize our mental health and well-being. In terms of search and e-commerce, they didn't prioritize our privacy, right? They want that data. So maybe the equivalent is with great data comes great responsibility. Hmm. I don't think that we can leave it up to those half a dozen companies this time around. We sort of let, these are both called, social media and AI are both called arrival technologies. They have just shown up. They're widely adopted very quickly. It doesn't matter what our policies are. People will find a way to use them. We can put as many boulders as we want in the stream, but the water's going to run around it. And this really comes down to companies and individuals taking on agency and writing the narrative ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
So there isn't this, like, quote, ethics patch that we're going to find that someone's going to apply and say, okay, use it this way, use it that way.
There's no question that companies need governance frameworks. They need to stay up with regulation and ensure transparency and all sorts of things. I think, you know, locally, I think Michael Bess, their approach, Jason Schultz and Sarah Ault, their approach to this is really solid. And they can, companies like that, organizations like that can help you navigate those waters. But it is going to change so quickly. I don't think we can regulate or educate fast enough to keep up with what the technology is going to be capable of.
Hmm. Okay. So if I'm kind of going back to the start of the show, if I'm a creative worker and I'm worried about my freelance work going away, what do you suggest to me so I can use AI more efficiently and effectively?
You got to dive into the tools. So it depends on your medium, but you know, we create thousands of images using Midjourney, which is an image generator just using natural language. It creates images every 60 seconds for us, four images. One of them is useful, and if it's not, we'll wait another minute. But we use that in our keynotes, in our workshops, in our learning content, and so forth. And I used to have to pay designers to do that work or search forever on Google Images or, you know, the paid-for services right. and license images, and that's no longer necessary. If it's music, you know, I think everything is changing. We're going to see a lot more video emerging. Luma Labs just released something that is incredibly powerful in terms of just write a few lines of text or paste a picture in, and it gives you a great video.
All right. We want to get your thoughts on AI and education in Microsoft in Wisconsin.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Joining us today, Todd McLeese, the co-founder of HumanSkills.ai. I needed to find an expert to help wrap my arms and head and mind around AI, and Todd is definitely one of the best in the entire state and country. So, Todd, I use day-to-day Grammarly as I'm doing emails, as I'm putting together presentations, and it corrects the grammar, it provides suggestions of voice, and I get nice little prompts. You know, once a week, I'll get a whole summary of how my writing was. And yesterday I got this from Grammarly. It said, "You used more unique words than 98% of Grammarly users."
Nice.
Congratulations. And it made me feel good. I'm like, all right, hey, maybe I subscribe to Pro and give them $20 a month so my writing gets even better.
And the compliments.
And yes. So I liked that in terms of the humanization of AI and how it works in my day-to-day life. But what are some of the unexpected ways that AI is already improving our daily lives that maybe people don't even realize that, wow, this is AI, and this is happening to me right now?
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff has been around for a decade, right? And more traditional forms of machine learning and AI. But, traffic flows in cities are very AI-driven right now. And so we've reduced commute times and emissions because of AI combined with traffic flow data. It obviously tailors content recommendations when you're on Netflix or social media or whatever the case may be. There's good and there's bad there. Maybe one unexpected thing is that many doctors are using AI now for even ChatGPT for diagnosis backup. I was listening to a podcast of a surgeon, and he was saying that there's something called a curbside visit where you just kind of bump into somebody in the hallway, but he happens to be the knee specialist who's got information, and those specialists aren't always available. And now they can turn to AI, and they're doing pilots around AI for patient communication. And what's interesting is that MedPalm 2, which is a Google algorithm, AI algorithm, it recently scored 70% higher than clinicians on empathy for patient communication.
Bedside manners with AI. I like to see it.
That's right. So you take that information of, oh, Jeff's son is, you know, a basketball star and just got done with this camp, or Jeff mentioned a wedding that's going on in South Carolina in October, and so maybe my note starts out with, hey, congratulations on, enjoy your time in South Carolina, congratulations on the upcoming nuptials, whatever the case may be, whatever you've mentioned. The doctor doesn't have time or doesn't take the time to do that oftentimes.
Yeah. I mean, the WTMJ talking text line is 855-616-1620. Getting a lot of good input as you're talking. And, you know, one from the 414 says, you know, it seems that AI has the capability of dumbing down our creative processes and our research processes by making it relatively too simple to create something with minimal data or insight. Scares me, but glad I'm old. But how do you contradict that type of opinion, knowing that, hey, there's nothing constant but change?
So I think all of this requires high empathy from all of us because people are coming at it from different views. I travel around the country and work with, you know, dozens of higher ed institutions and school districts. And teachers are genuinely concerned, not just about academic integrity or lack thereof and, you know, the plagiarism and so forth. It's more about the root of it is I'm really afraid that our students aren't going to build the skills they need to be competitive and live a fruitful life and so forth, like critical thinking, right? If I'm using AI all the time, it can erode the high cognitive, the human skills that are absolutely necessary in the AI economy. And so, again, I agree that it can dumb us down.
Yeah.
If we use it the way we've used technology in the past,
yeah.
If we use it as a collaborative partner and think of ourselves as sitting down alongside of it instead of standing across from it, asking it to do something, it changes everything, and the quality of our work and our learning goes up instead of down.
Partnership, collaboration.
That's
when
right.
We come back, I want to talk about some of your partnerships with higher education institutions and discuss that. How can AI, generative AI, kind of help close the skills gap, the challenge that we have in Wisconsin and a lot of states have? This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, wrapping our minds and arms around AI with Todd McLeese, the co-founder of HumanSkills.ai. Todd, tell us a little bit more about some of your partnerships with higher education institutions and corporations, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country.
Yeah, well, I've been involved with Higher Education Regional Alliance for here in southeastern Wisconsin, which is all 17 two-year and four-year public-private schools, for the last 6 years since it was founded. Maybe it's almost seven now. I think I named it, or at least Chancellor Mone and I, over the course of a weekend, kind of went back and forth. And I'm chair of their AI task force now. But
okay.
So that's a great relationship, and I'm able to help. You know, for me, it's about scaling efforts, right? So being able to help those 17. I work with around 30 different colleges in the state of Texas.
Hmm.
I've spent the last few years a lot of time in that market, and that continues to grow. And now I'm getting into California and New York as well.
What are some things that are happening in Texas that aren't happening in Wisconsin?
Well, Austin is there.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Maybe it's Wisconsin, you know, with Microsoft's entry into southeastern Wisconsin, maybe we, you know, the halo of that is we start to see certainly some immediate impacts at Gateway Technical College and at UWM. I would say that it doesn't matter what state you're in. It matters who the leader of the institution is and how forward thinking they are about AI and whether or not they understand how meaningful this is. I mean, the technology leaders like Satya Nadella, like, you know, the people who run Microsoft and Google,
yeah.
Like they're saying, hey, nothing since electricity touches this. And going back, like some people are saying, this is essentially the discovery of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the internet. It's not mobile phones, which are huge, but this is bigger.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Microsoft and obviously a lot of excitement around Microsoft presence in southeastern Wisconsin. What do you think this means to the region's competitiveness moving forward? And what opportunities will there be for local businesses?
Yeah, well, I think over time, Microsoft's presence here is going to be significant. It's going to help us attract more tech talent to this region. You know, it's an AI-driven campus that they're building down in Mount Pleasant. I think it's going to help in terms of technology investments, companies coming in, being a part of that ecosystem, and so forth. The opportunities for the school, for the local businesses, are immense. You know, part of the announcement, and you know, I don't know anything that hasn't been publicly announced. Yeah. So, but part of the announcement was the partnership between UW-Milwaukee and Microsoft includes a co-innovation lab, which is only the seventh one in the world. And their charter is something like 60 businesses a year are going to be directly impacted by learning how AI can transform their business. And that's kind of the minimum requirement. So mm-hmm. there's a real opportunity. There's a focus on manufacturing, which is right. But there's a real opportunity for everybody to get involved in this process.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to have you expand upon that a little bit and talk about how AI can continue to close the skills gap, and then talk about Camp Rise and your involvement there and how it's helping kids on a local level right here in Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Todd McLeese, the co-founder of HumanSkills.ai, putting the human focus on AI for us this morning. Todd, I appreciate your time today. From your perspective, what are some of the key trends and challenges shaping Wisconsin's landscape when it comes to AI? You know, specifically, how do we close the skills gap and kind of move our recruitment and retention meter up? Because we got to get more people into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. So I think the trends are AI and manufacturing is going to be significant. And that's going, I believe that's a significant opportunity for us. But we're going to see it in multiple industries, in healthcare and banking. And there's going to be a real impact. The challenge is, I agree with your thoughts around talent attraction regionally and retention. I think there are some aspects here around equitable access to technologies. And the skills gap is probably, there's probably two big things. One is there's an existing workforce that we're all coming at this from different places, right? I'm in my mid-50s. Do I need to learn this?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes, right? Yeah. If you want to extend your career by 10 or 20 years, we have to help the existing workforce learn not only AI. And I don't want people to be freaked out about artificial intelligence as a technology, because it really does come down to creativity and imagination, and especially generative AI, which is where my focus is. How do we partner with a technology for the first time ever, but it's actually a very human experience? That skills gap is massive. And one of my biggest fears working around the country is, the digital skills gap that exists today, which is wide between people in the surrounding counties, and then when you look at Milwaukee County and traditionally underserved communities and high need neighborhoods, traditionally they haven't had access not only to the technology mm-hmm. but to the training.
Yeah.
Here, the technology is not the issue. They're going to have access to that. Will they have access to the training? That's the big issue. And it's not just AI. It's also those human skills, the high cognitive and socio-emotional skills that will define the human work that we have to do in the AI economy.
Yeah, and like any type of mentorship, the 66-year-old can learn from the 16-year-old, and the 16-year-old can learn from the 66-year-old,
right?
Take technology out of it, and that's an important thing that we all need to dive into. What's your work with Camp Rise, and give us some context around that? There's a place for leadership and civic leadership and government in this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Camp Rise is just something I'm just getting involved in. We're giving our time to some pilots to help people from high need neighborhoods learn the skills related to leveraging generative AI. And so I've learned about Camp Rise through Vicky Martin at MATC, who has, you know, is sunsetting her career in a few weeks and has spent the last decade running MATC really in a service leadership mindset. And she introduced me to the folks at Employ Milwaukee, who run Camp Rise, And it's this tremendous program where there are 300 kids from high-need neighborhoods. We're just going to do a couple of days with them and help them learn some skills, but they're learning all summer. They have access to technology. There's all kinds of leaders coming in and so forth. It's really a tremendous experience. So we're happy to contribute and just really lucky to be involved in it.
All right. Todd McLeese, the co-founder of HumanSkills.ai. Todd, if you can, in 30 seconds, define success for AI moving forward.
Success for AI is based on one thing. We measure throughout all of history, there have only been around 28 technologies that have been paradigm shifting. And the way we measure the success is its impact on human beings' ability to flourish. And that's what success has to look like for AI, because the downside risks are tremendous.
Very good.